Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way Church. We're so glad that you're here. Happy 4th of July week. Hope you had a good week. I don't know about you, but I love 4th of July week. I love summertime. I love being outside. I know it's hot, but I like that a little better than winter. So I'm very thankful for the season that we're in. I'm thankful for the summertime. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that you all are here. I'm thankful Papa's here. He's here with us. He's back. He's been out a little while. We're so glad that he's back here with us. Today's just going to be a great day of worshiping. We have a great set with you. We were supposed to have Lauren with us. She's sick today, so all prayers and blessings to Lauren. But Jacob and I have never really sang together. Well, you have both of us up here, so
it's pretty cool.
Let's stand, and let's worship.
Sun sets free. Who is free?
is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb.
The precious blood of Jesus.
So we're going to sing a new song this morning. It's called Another in the Fire. And I've been listening to it for a while now, and we've tried to sing it before. But this is the first time we're going to make it happen. And it's a song that just, lyrically to me, is just amazing. I know that we all go through things and we battle things. But the word of this song is that through that, he is with us all the time. Jacob, I know you probably go through things. He's with us all the time, Jacob. All the time. Okay? Anytime we're in the fire, I always think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and when they were in that fiery furnace. And you know, they said, even if he doesn't deliver us, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to praise him. There is another in the fire, whatever it is you're going through today, there is another there. He is there, our all-powerful, mighty Heavenly Father. He is there. Some of you may not have heard this song, so if you can't sing it, that's okay. Just focus on the lyrics, because the lyrics are amazing. Hopefully I can get the lyrics out for you, because there's a lot of them. But take this time to worship him from all the battles that you've gone through. You have overcome them, because he is with you.
Should I ever need reminding?
is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come away with the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone.
Yes.
Well, I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding?
Y'all mind if I slow this down just for a second? I've got some friends that are hurting right now. I've got two particular friends that are hurting right now that have been through kind of what I would deem some of the hardest stuff you can go through. And I know that what happened to me when I went through the hardest stuff that I thought that I could go through, I don't know if I got lucky. I don't know if it was a plan. I can't figure all that out of my head, but I know that I digested all of that hurt in this room with these people. That's one thing that's just pure, simple truth, you know. And I struggle to find those pure, simple truths that I can't poke a hole in. But there's something that happens here in this room that affects the deepest hurts. And you don't have to be here for that to happen. We take it out with us. And I think that it's time for some new wineskins. song is about what it's like on the other side of those wineskins. When you shed it all off, the fire song. I mean, once you go through all that fire and you shed off and it burns off all the crud that the world can do to you, that you can do to yourself, there's a real beautiful creation that happens. It's really hard to put it into words, and I think this song really tried to put it into words. And if you read between the lines and you meditate on it, that's when it starts to digest and eat away at the hurt. It's not going to happen just today. There's no amount of raising your hands, as much as I love all that, there's no amount of saying the right words or looking the right way. There's no amount of going through the motions that's just going to solve it. There's a consistency, and there's finding people that instead of drawing from you, feed you. And if there's not a better definition of Eagle's Way, I don't know what that is. And this song is looking through that portal of healing into a new creation. And what that did for me, when I look back through my time, I don't see the hurt me. I see the hurt you now. And it's my job to help fix that. Even if it's just listening, or even if it's just sitting there and doing nothing and being with you. So to everybody out there that has to hide who they are and what they believe in so they could fit into this world, I want to be there for you if that's what you have to do. I want to be your friend, whoever you are. I don't want to be someone that looks at you and says you have to fit in or it's not going to work. So I'm going to get up with you every day. And I'm going to keep doing this life with you every day until it's all digested and you can fit into this new wineskin. So hold that hurt right now in the center of your mind. Hold that hurt. Look at it. And let it melt away. And do that every day. And when you don't have the strength to do it by yourself, call on somebody.
God.
100 billion creatures catch your breath.
Measure could amount to your desire. You're the in something that may become a tradition at Eagles Way Church, and it's called Midsummer Celebration of the Table of Communion of the rich, rich heritage that we're part of. Aren't you glad that you're part of something that's been around a long, long time? This didn't just start yesterday or last year or a decade ago. It started thousands and thousands of years ago, and it's been on a journey since the beginning of creation, and it's been moving toward a great journey of faith the whole time. I want to thank you for being part of Eagles Way Church. I want to thank you for all that you do. I want to thank people that have yielded to the Lord in their life and have become great speakers and orators. I have this summer purposely taken off. I'm going on, really haven't announced this to a congregation, but I've been on a little sabbatical, and it's been all for me to renew myself and refresh myself in the Lord and any restoration that I might need. There's three words you're going to be hearing about in the next couple of weeks when I really get back into the saddle. It's three words I ended up with an early part of the summons, the word restoration, renewing, and replenishing. And I've realized that my whole life, every day, is about restoration. It's about renewing. It's about replenishing. Young man in our church, he's been, doesn't come very often, but over 20 years ago, it may be going on 30 years ago now, he went to Alcohol Anonymous and got free. But his freedom, he understands that he came to me one time and I made a statement. I said, we're always, always be in recovery. You'll never get out of recovery until Jesus comes back. We will be in the process of recovering. And I never fully understood that until talking to Doug one time, and he explained to me what AA was all about, what it meant to him, and how he had stayed free by continuing his state of recovery. How many know it's a continual thing? See, there's a scripture that's misunderstood, and it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Well, in the Greek wording of that, there's a continuation. Jesus said one time, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. But the literal translation of that is keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. And the little translation of if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. Because I want to tell you something, if old things don't continue to be passing away and all things continue to be becoming new, you're going to get stale. And you don't want to do that. You get boring when you get stale. You get mean when you get stale. You know what I'm saying? Some of you got that look on. You know what I'm talking about. How many enjoyed some fireworks this week? Did you enjoy some fireworks? How many would like to think and believe we could have some spiritual fireworks here this morning? How many would like to see this communion of the richness of the ages explode inside of you in such a way that all some things of healing and restoration happen in your life? How many would like to see that happen? I'm telling you. Dusty and Chris was in London several weeks back, and there was... No, Dusty. Anna was, and you didn't get to go. Me either. Chris and Anna was in London at the Westminster Abbey. Such rich, rich tradition. And Anna saw that they were about to have a communion service, and she told her daddy, she said, I've got to do this. I've got to take communion at the Abbey. Because she was so connected to that rich, rich heritage. Let me tell you something about a generation that's coming up. They want richness. They want a deep foundation in their life. And what I hope to do today is to bring this table alive to you. I want to bring this cup alive to you. I want you to see the richness of what this represents and what it's represented for hundreds and thousands of years. And how many people have partaken of this cup and ate this bread and received healing for their body, their spirit, and their soul. That if we can connect ourselves in a fresh and a new way by faith to what this really represents, what this really, really is, I'm looking forward to it. And we sang these songs about Jesus. We talked about the creation. We talked about his crucifixion. We talked about his resurrection. We talked about the richness of what took place on the cross because he was willing. But what I want you to see this morning as we go through what is called the last sayings of Christ on the cross before his death, some call it the seven sayings, some call it the last seven things he ever said, but he wasn't. He did die. He did was resurrected, and he had some more to say. But these seven things on the cross were seven principles, if you will, that if we will live by those same seven principles, what a difference it'll make in our life. The Apostle Paul said about Christ in his crucifixion, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Say, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Paul said, but Christ lives within me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so if I'm crucified with Christ, as we go through quickly these seven sayings of Jesus verbalizing them, these things, hanging on a cross with nails in his hands, in his feet, had been scourged, which most people at that time died from a scourging. He had come under such mental oppression in the garden that the pores of his skin opened up and blood seeped out. And he's hanging in this bloody mess on a cross. And he gives us seven of the most powerful kingdom principles that's ever been spoken. And he starts off, he looks at the ones that are crucifying him. He says, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they're doing. I learned something years ago about forgiveness. It's called unilateral forgiveness. Most of us don't know about that. Most of us know that forgiveness is not unilateral, and I'll explain that in a moment. For us, most of us, forgiveness is after I've moaned and groaned for a while, after I've gotten angry and I process my anger, after maybe I've spoken and said what I want to say about it, maybe after I've told enough people how hurt I am, maybe after I've processed this with this person or that person, then maybe I can extend forgiveness. But Jesus, while it is happening to him, extends forgiveness because he had decided in his life to walk in unilateral forgiveness, realizing at any moment and any day, at any time, he's going to need to forgive. That at any moment, at any time of any day, somebody may, something may happen that he will need to give forgiveness immediately to. And while he's on the cross, he does that. He says, Father, forgive them. If you would only realize, we don't know what we're doing when we hurt people. We really don't. You know, most people are really good at the core of their being. And they don't purposely go around hurting people. Now, there's a few evil people in the world, but as a whole, not. Most people don't want to hurt somebody else. And they don't know what they're doing. When Jesus said that, one of the soldiers at the cross, that's when he said, truly, this man's the Son of God. I just watched him extend forgiveness to us doing what we're doing to him while we're doing it to him. Then he said, today to a thief on the cross, you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be with me in paradise. Today is your day of salvation. Aren't you glad it's every day is the day of salvation? Then he said, don't put it off. Today is the day of your salvation. Then he looks at his mother and he says, mother, behold thy son. And he looked at John and said, John, behold thy mother. He took care of relationships that needed to be taken care of. You know, you always got to be taking care of relationships. Always got to be taking care of relationships. Because relationships are going to always need forgiveness, restoration, renewing, replenishing. They're going to always need, how many know they're going to always need that? Say always. If you don't know that, you need to get married. Then you'll know that. All relationships need constant care. Your parental relationships, your friendship relationships, your brother and sister relationships, they always need care. And while Jesus is in his worst suffering of his life, takes care of relationships. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Then he said something that I never took it that personal until reflecting on it this past week. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's two interpretations of that. One is what I learned early in my life, and that interpretation was that God is too pure eyes to behold iniquity, so that when he who knew no sin became sin on the cross, the Father turned his back on him and could not look at him. I don't know how true that is, but how many know that God said, the scripture says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I believe God didn't forsake him, but I believe Jesus thought he was forsaken. Have you ever in this life been in a place where you felt like you were totally forsaken by everybody and even God? But he acknowledged it and said, why have you forsaken me? Then he cried out in this weariness, like I'm done. I'm tired. And something happened. He says, I'm thirsty. And they lifted up this sour wine on a sponge-like thing, and he drank it. Because he knew sometimes in life you just got to drink the cup. It is what it is in the moment, in the time, and if you'll just drink the cup, it will pass. It'll pass. It'll pass. And that's the wonderful thing about it. One of my favorite scriptures is, and it came to pass. Aren't you glad things come to pass? And sometimes I realized just a few years ago, people used to ask me, how do I deal with this rejection? And I come out with this wonderful counseling technique that I'd never used before in my life. I said, accept it. Stop dealing with it. Just accept it. What do you mean accept, reject? Drink the cup. Nothing. It is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes you just have to drink the cup. And if we will process our life this way, if we will keep forgiving, if we will keep looking to God, if we will deal with sometimes and be honest, I feel like I'm forsaken. I feel like you've even forsaken me, God. If we'll process all of that, if we'll drink the cup, then there's going to be a triumphant finish in our life. Finally, Jesus said, it is finished. And when he said that, it wasn't, it's finished. Oh, Lord, it's over. It was a triumphant cry from the depths of his soul, from the depths of his spirit, from the depths of his most inner being. It was, it's finished. Victory is here. It's over. I'm triumphant. And then he says, into thy hands, Lord God, I commit my spirit. And if you see this cross rendering, you'll see that that's your life continually. And it always ends up with coming back. Lord, I'm committing myself into your hands. And then he dies and he's put in a tomb. And he's resurrected. You know what he did? He went for a walk. I wouldn't have went for a walk, Joey. I went for a walk, but it would have been a walk right back into Jerusalem to those people that had crucified me, did what they did. I'd have walked right back in there and said, hey, look at here. But he, no, he goes 7 miles away from Jerusalem. 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And a man by the name of Cleopas and a companion, which was probably his wife, were walking, and Jesus comes up to them, and they don't recognize him and know who he is. And Jesus said, why are you so sad? And they said, don't you know what's happened? The one that we thought was going to bring deliverance to us, they crucified, they buried him, and he began to expound the scriptures to them, and as he did, I love, this is some old stuff. Ready for some old stuff? A refocused hope came. Anybody here need some refocused hope today? He may not come like you think he may come. He may not even be recognizable when he comes. Because he can come in so many different ways. Oh, he can come in the bread. He can come in the wine. He can come in the another person. You just got to be open. We just sung that song, So Will I. My goodness, everything that was ever created, he created. And so he's everywhere. And so he could come in any moment, in any way. You have just got to be willing to recognize how he's going to come at that moment, because I tell you what, most of the time, I've been in this thing a long, long, long time. Most of the time, he never comes in the way that I think he might come. He comes in a way that is unexpected. And I believe the reason of that is because he never wants you to put God in a box, in a particular, this is how it's always going to be. Because he may come in a way that is totally, completely unrecognizable. It may come in a gym, Joy. It may come through somebody pumping weight. It may come through somebody in the office of a doctor's office. It may come through somebody walking down the hall and you see somebody coming and you stop for a moment and you just greet them and you don't know how important that one moment is. You don't even know if you're entertaining an angel unaware. You don't know how or when he's going to come. But he comes. And what I want to, I love the Book of Common Prayer. I've had it for a long, long time. And my buddy Ron gave this to me probably 30 years ago. I was tried to be pulled into a charismatic Episcopal denomination that started about 35 years ago. And so I got a Book of Common Prayer. And when I decided not to go into this denomination, but I had the Book of Common Prayer, they said, you can't use the Book of Common Prayer if you don't use it all. And I said, really? And then I read it. And the very introduction to it says, you can use all of this. You can use some of this. You can do any part of this you want to use. You're welcome to use it. So I became Episcopal. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm Catholic, I'm Presbyterian. Yeah, you are too. Aren't you glad? So when somebody asks you, say, what are you? Say, I'm everything. Are you Catholic? Yep, I'm Catholic. Why? How are you Catholic? I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe in the Church Universal. I'm Catholic. I'm Baptist. I believe in eternal salvation. I'm Methodist. I believe in a lot of methods that God's got going on. I'm Presbyterian. I'm pressing on. I'm whatever. I'll tell you what, because in the midst of this huge universal church, there's three things we got to keep at the center. We got to keep at the core: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's why we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made for us. For our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. And for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. That's some good stuff. I didn't know Episcopals could get down like that, did you? He will come again in glory, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He was spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Man, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. That's why you light two candles on a communion table. They represent he's all God and he's all man. God became like man so that we can become like God. God became like man so we could become like God. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, early on in his ministry, he's just getting started, he says. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities, and he carried our diseases. I read that because I want you to see he not only opened blinded eyes, he not only healed the paralytic, but he was concerned about whatever infirmity and disease there is on the face of the earth. However small or large it may be. That's why when he came out of the tomb, he went 7 miles away from Jerusalem because he wanted everybody to know this thing is for everybody. It's for everybody. And we're going to sanctify today in a special way this cup. We're going to sanctify this bread by prayer so that when you come and you partake of this sacred, deep-rooted, thousands of years of tradition, rich in heritage, rich in posterity, rich in faith, beyond anything I could possibly try to explain to you today, beyond any words that I could possibly say. But if we can reach by faith into what this is all about and receive it today in a fresh and a new way, this is his body, this is his blood, and believe that he took our infirmities and our diseases upon himself, maybe we can have a point of contact of faith that we've never had before. And so as you stand, And this is what I want you to do, so listen real carefully. You just go to your left and you come around in a moment to get, receive your elements and go back to where you're seated. Don't take the elements until you're instructed. But for those of you here, and you've got a need in your life, you've got a spirit, a soul, or a body need that beyond you, you can't do anything about it. If you will, after everybody's served, if you'll come and stand across the front here, we're going to sanctify these elements. So when you receive it today, you receive it in a fresh and a new way of knowing it can minister to my spirit, my soul, and my body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit's a Trinity. I'm a Trinity, and He wants me whole, just like He is whole. God became like man, so man can become like God. So, Father, first of all, we thank You as we lift up this cup. We lift up, Lord, what this represents, what it is. And, Lord, the forgiveness and the healing, the power that comes from it. We sanctify this bread today, Your body that was broken for us to make us whole, to remake us again. Lord, today we sanctify it by the word and by prayer. And we receive it today in a brand new way of faith and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Elders, be coming, take your place, and then you can come around and receive your elements. Some symbolic things. Billy, I want you to take this staff and come be my Moses today. Stand for all the things that they prophesied and they spoke about. Even Jesus expounded to them all the things Moses said, all the prophets said, and when he did, their eyes were opened. They said, wow, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he expounded the scriptures? Just imagine, one thing for me to preach the scriptures, but buddy, what do you think it came when the word was preaching the word? Whew. When the word of God was preaching the word of God. Think of that for a moment. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he, the word, preached the word. Let it come alive. If you're here today and you need healing, spiritual, soul, or body, would you just come and stand across this front? And Billy, I want you to come and stand behind them. And eldership, I want you to come and stand behind them too. And we want to receive it today, fresh in a new way. You know, there's a tension. I've had quite a journey of faith, still on it. And my journey of faith is, I was Baptist, I was Pentecostal, and I've gone through some different areas and times, and been here a long time, 40-something years. There's a tension as a pastor that's been with people a long, long time. And sometimes it's hard for you to preach, you know, healing and faith because you got friends, you got loved ones, and that, you know, I don't know why we're not healed so often. I don't know, because I believe it, but I don't know why at times it doesn't happen. And sometimes it puts a tension between what you really believe and how much you really want to say it, because you got friends and loved ones that are hurting and you don't want to disappoint them. But see, I'm standing here today as a representative of Jesus. Billy's representing all the old prophets of old. We're standing here between two covenants. Now it's just one. And it's not coming from me. This is not me. This is not me it's coming from. This is his body, which is broken for us, and we take it to receive our healing for our spirit, our soul, our body. Lord, we lift up, oh, this rich, rich cup of the hundreds and thousands of years it's represented. Saints of all cultures, all nations receive the same cup. Maybe in a different language, they receive the same cup. And we drink it today, knowing that he took our infirmities and our weaknesses. We give you thanks, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it all real to us. We receive this rich heritage of faith passed on to us down through the ages. The ones that we've heard about and know about, but all of those we have only a spiritual connection with. That one day we'll all stand together as a perfect family of God, brothers and sisters of all nations, of all walks of life, standing in an earth filled with nothing but righteousness and goodness and wholeness. And today, though, we taste of the world that is to come. We taste of the world that is to come. And the reality of the world that is to come, we receive it even today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We have tasted. Amen. Amen. You want a drink of that? I can see it in your eyes. Anybody else want to drink of this? I'm telling you, we're drinking from a heritage. We're drinking from a richness that, oh, we know nothing about. He bore our sorrows, carried our griefs. We drink deeply from a fountain, a fountain. Faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. God honors your faithfulness today. He honors your commitment today. He honors your holding on, persevering. We honor you today. Amen. Somebody else?
When the heart is on fire, another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There's another standing next to me. There was another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden. Another died for me. There is another. Great that holds no.
God bless you.